If you've been here this summer, you've seen what we've been going through. We've been going through what he's done. So from Psalm 66, come and see what God has done. Come and hear what God has done. And so I want to continue that theme just a little bit this morning. And so I don't have a live testimony for you this morning. I have some video testimonies for you. So they'll be quick. I hope you enjoy these.
Hi, church. I'm Jer. I'm the director of Kids Ministry. And today we have our friend from first grade, right? This is Dana. She's in first grade. So Dana, tell me, you went at VBS, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what was your experience like at VBS?
VBS was great. I love the games. I love the bouncy house. I love the lights. I love the songs. I loved the songs about Jesus. I loved all the songs. I loved the bouncy house and I loved the cotton candy, the popcorn.
So what was one thing that you learned at VBS?
God is the Messiah. He's the light of the world.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Hello, Chapel family. My name is Zeke. I'm the middle school resident here at the Chapel in Green. So today I get the lovely privilege of interviewing one of our students who went to MIX, our middle school summer camp. And we're going to ask some questions, get a feel for what the camp was like, what the week was like. So Jenna, you're in eighth grade. This is, your third time going to MIX? Second or third time?
My first time going to MIX.
First time going to MIX. All right. So your first time going to MIX. What was your favorite part about the week at camp?
Probably the worship and just having like a week-long sleepover with all my friends. But yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. What was your favorite part about the worship?
It was just like because it was like no judgment. Like you could do, if you needed to cry, you could cry. If you wanted to just like jump up and down. And it was so good to be like surrounded by followers of Christ and just having the best time ever.
Oh, that's awesome. Makes my heart happy. So I'm going to ask you one more question. What would you say for your faith was the most impactful thing you took away from MIX that maybe you're still thinking about today, maybe you're practicing today? What was that like impactful moment or time or experience or person? Could be anything.
It was just great to hear like all the testimonies from all my friends. And then it just was great to feel like God's presence like the entire week. And I kind of just like learned how to take that with me and how to like make God part of my daily life. And it was just like awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. So that's what happens out at middle school summer camp. If you guys want more information, you come talk to me. I've got an office out in the family office. I'd love to tell you guys more about what we do at GSM. Good morning, Chapel in Green family. My name is Zeke. I'm the middle school resident here at the Chapel in Green, and I get the lovely opportunity to interview one of our high schoolers who went to our high school summer camp MOVE to testify to what the Lord... JC, I'm curious, what were your expectations going into MOVE?
I was just so excited to go into MOVE because this was my second year going into it, and I just love being with my small group, with all my friends at church, and I just think it is such a fun environment, and I was just so excited to go into that week, to learn about Jesus, and to just spend time with my friends.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome. I love spending time with my friends. It's one of the best parts of life, right? So next question I've got for you. What would you say is something you learned at high school camp at MOVE?
I learned so much, but I think one thing that really stuck out to me, one of the days they talked about God's love, and I was like, this is something I already know. This is a concept that's just like easy. What am I going to learn from this? But there were a lot of things that stuck out to me from that, and just how the speaker said that you really experience God's love through the people you love most and your family and your church. And for me, that's how I experience God's love. And I think through the church and my leaders and my small group and my friends, like it was just so cool to see how I feel that I feel God's love every time that I spend time with them. And I was just like, wow, that's so awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. So the final question I've got for you is, how are you still practicing some of the things you learned at MOVE at high school camp?
Mm-hmm. I would say just trying to stay connected with the church and stay connected with my friends. And, you know, community is just so important. And sometimes I think I try to do things on my own and, like, focus so much. Like, I can just fix my own problems and I can just do it myself. But, like, reaching out to my small group and my leaders in the church and like my mom, like it's just so impactful to have those people in my life to help me through the darkest times.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. All good stuff out at high school camp. If you guys want to know more, if you want to learn more what we do at GSM, what our camps look like, you can come talk to me. Like I said, my name's Zeke, or you can talk to our high school director. His name's Eric Price. We'd love to chat with you more about what we do. But yeah, God bless you guys. Have a good day.
Hi, my name is Zayt, and I'm 9 years old and about to go into fourth grade. Jesus is my Savior, and I believe Jesus is the Son of God who rescued me. I love Jesus because he died on the cross for our sins and he helps me every day. I follow Jesus because I want to obey him and be kind to others. I really want to get baptized because Jesus and God are almighty and I want to be on God's team. I surrendered my life to Jesus and I want to obey him no matter what. I get really excited thinking about it. Jesus forgives me of my sins. He helps me when I'm scared and hurt. He helps calm me when I'm anxious or worried. I can show others I follow Jesus by getting baptized to be kind to others and share how Jesus loves us, and that I try to repent for my sins when I do them.
So I wanted to show you some of our kids today because I think sometimes in a church this size, sometimes we can lose sight of that. There's lots of stuff that happens over in East End and up in the kids ministry halls and all of those things, and it's incredible. And so we've been going through this series, What He's Done. And so today we're gonna title it What He's Still Doing too. Like, God's not done in our lives. He's not done working in our hearts. And so I think that's important. So where are my kids at today? Kids, wave at me. I see some of you up there. Hi, I got you. Where are my kids? Oh, right in front of me. I love it. Oh, way back there. That, you're not a kid. Are you a kid? Is that a kid? Oh, it is a kid up there. Hi. Some of these adults. Oh, right in the middle. All right. I love it that you're here. Hello. Good. I love that you're in here today. So us big kids do this every week, right? So while you guys are in your class, we're in here doing this. We're singing. We're going to open God's word here in just a second. And this is what we do. Like, we do this every week. And so I love that you get to join us today. And so who knows, maybe one day we'll all go join you in your class. That'll be a big class, and it'll be a lot of fun. And so it's fun. If you have your Bibles, open with me quickly today. We're not going to be long, to Philippians chapter 1. I'm really going to look at one verse because I want to end today. I want to take some time at the end of the service here, a little extended prayer time. And so it's different in a church this size to do those things. So I grew up in a small little church down in Georgia, and so we would have these fun times of prayer where all 100 of us would get together and would do that. And so it's a little bit harder with this many in the room, but we're going to try some of that. And so I want us praying for each other, especially those of you that are headed back to school. And so I want to take a little bit of time for that at the end, but I do want to open God's word. So if you've never found the book of Philippians, it's near the back of the Bible, and kind of tucked in there, there's some letters that Paul wrote, and this is one, and Paul wrote it while he was in prison, and so he's going to share one verse with us here that I want to highlight, verse 6 in chapter 1, and so here's what it says. It says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." And so I want to point out three things, kids, pay attention, because I want to point out three truths that you can bank on with God. And the first one is this: He's sovereign. That's a big fancy word, and it's a beautiful word. It's a really cool word. It's a word that means that God is in charge of everything. He rules over everything. He's the king. He has authority over it. He's sovereign. He's in charge of the stars and the skies and the universe. He's in charge of all of that. Really big stuff, the sun and the moon. And when you think about some of those cool little things that happen there, you know, if the earth was just a little bit off this way, we'd be way too cold and we'd all freeze to death. Or if it was off just a little bit too close to the sun, we'd all burn up. And so here's God in charge of that, and he puts it perfectly around the sun. So that we can survive. It's amazing. He's in charge of those massive things. But he's also in charge of the small things, too. Well, what are the small things? Well, me, I'm kind of small. When you think about how big the universe is, I'm pretty tiny, right? But he cares about me, and he's in charge of me. And I can allow him to be sovereign and to be in charge and rule in my life. And so I think that's important sometimes, because as I look at the chaos that tends to surround me, then I sometimes feel like life is a little bit out of control. Like, so here we are, we're going back to school. And that can be a little bit anxious, a little bit nervous. I feel a little out of control with that. And if I can remember that God is in control, he rules over all of it. He's sovereign. Second Chronicles would tell us this: O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in the heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. And so when this was written, especially there were like a lot of kingdoms and kings. And so what the writer here is saying, you're in charge of even those kings and all those, you're bigger than all of that. You can handle all of that that's going on in life. God's sovereign. He rules over everything. The second thing that I want you guys to see is that he has a plan for us. He loves and he cares for you. So what does that mean? That means he's doing something with you. I remember when I first got married, the first couple years of our marriage, my wife loved to throw pottery. Kids, anybody ever see pottery being thrown on the wheel? Yeah? You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, so let me tell you how this process goes. It's really cool. You take this lump of clay, and if you're the lump of clay, this probably isn't as cool as I think it is, because you got to work on this lump of clay a little bit. So you put the lump of clay on a table, and you take it and you shove your hands into it, and you fold it over, and you shove your hands into it some more, and you fold it over, and you're squishing it, because you got to get all the air bubbles out of it. Because if you don't get the air bubbles out of it, bad things happen. I'll tell you about that in a minute. We had bad things happen one time. That was kind of wild. And so you work the clay, and you're working it, and you're working, and you finally get it there. And then you take it off the table, and you plop it down in the middle of this wheel, and you spin it around real fast, and it's going super fast. And then you kind of put your hands in it, and you pull it up, and you stretch it out, and you build it up, and push it down a little bit, and all this stuff. You make it wider and taller and whatever you want to look like. So here's what's cool about it, is if you're the potter, the one that's making it, you have an idea what you're making before you start making it. And sometimes the idea that you have turns out a little bit different. Like, I'm gonna make a coffee cup. And all of a sudden, your coffee cup turns into a big coffee cup. Because it was like, well, it's a little bit bigger than I intended it to be. But I have an idea of what I'm making. And so the scriptures would tell us that God is the potter. We are the clay. And so once you kind of get this thing formed on the wheel, it's there, and then you slow the wheel down a little bit so it's not spinning quite so fast. It's a little bit slower, and you take these tools, and they're kind of like knives. I mean, some of them are knives, and they have different, like some of them are rounded and some are pointy, and you begin to trim off the extra clay on there, right? And again, if you're the clay, this probably isn't a very fun process, right? Because you're digging into it and you're cleaning it off. But here's the thing. If you have too much clay on there, it stays moist. If it stays moist, bad things happen. Trust me. I'm going to tell you in a minute. So you get it all ready there, and then you take it and you slide it off and you let it dry out a little bit. And then you put it in a kiln. And you run that kiln up to 2,000 degrees. I can't remember. Like 1,600 maybe. It's been a while. And so you run it up really, really, really hot, and you cook that thing for like a full day. And so it was funny. So here's what happens one night, because we would run the kiln at night, and we had to run it at night because it pulled so much power we couldn't like run anything else in the house. So and I would watch the meter just going around really fast at the house, and I'm like, no, I don't know how much this is going to cost me. This is bad. And so here we are, we're running it, and we're fairly newly married, we're a year or two in, and so it's the middle of the night, and we're sound asleep, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock, I can't remember, in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden we hear this explosion. Boom! It's one of those that you sit up, and so both of us sit up, and that's one of those things as a dad where you're like, I'm supposed to go find the bad guy that's in the house. Unless you want to go do it. Do you want to go do it? You know, okay, I'll go find the bad guy in the house. And so you get up and you walk through the house, and okay, there's nobody in the house. And then we're figuring, and finally we figured it out. We had a piece of pottery explode. And so that's what happens when there's an air bubble in there, or there's too much moisture in there. Stuff, and I mean, when I say it blew up, it blew up. So we couldn't actually see it yet because you have to wait for everything to cool down enough. But when we opened it up, not only did that piece of pottery explode, but it destroyed everything on the same shelf with it. It destroyed everything in there. And even on the shelves above it and below it, there were shards of pottery, clay all over the place. Sometimes it can even disturb the kiln that you're, it can hurt. So it's bad. So there's a part of the clay that has to be open and has to be willing to be worked on. And so here's the third point. So the first point, God's sovereign. The second point, he's got a plan for you. And he plans our steps. But the third thing is he's not done yet. He's not done working on you. Friend, he's not finished. And so there's times that discipline in life, that those things that need to happen to you, God is still carving things out of you and pulling things out of you. He who began a good work in you, he will complete it. And there's times that God will allow things into our life to shape us and mold us. And sometimes it's things that we don't necessarily like. We don't necessarily enjoy those things, but he's trying to shape us. He's got a plan for us. He's trying to turn us into something. What is he trying to turn us into? The image of his son, Jesus, full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That's what he's trying to do in our life. He's not done yet. And so the only way that we can goof that up, I mean, because we can, like if I'm a lump of clay, the only way that I can goof that up is if I harden my heart, meaning I say, I don't want anything to do with you, right? Have you ever gone outside and picked up a big rock and put a big rock on the pottery wheel and tried to shape it and mold it? Can't do it. It's a rock. It doesn't shape. It doesn't mold. It's got to be soft. It's got to be willing to be worked with. And so, friend, I would offer to you today, are you allowing God to work on you? Are you the one that wants to complete good stuff in you? Are you allowing him? Even if that means some pushing and some folding and some cutting away, are you allowing him to do that? Or are you hardening yourself towards him? Scripture would tell us this so we don't lose heart. Paul writes this too. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. He's doing that inside of us. We don't lose heart. And so whatever it is that you're going through today, I would encourage you and challenge you, don't lose heart in it. There are circumstances that God puts in your life. I remember being a kid. I remember being some of your ages in here and school starting back, and I don't want to go back to school. And then there were years that I'm like, I can't wait to go back to school. And so either way, don't lose heart. Go be a light for Jesus. Mom, dad, as you send them off every day, man, model for them what being a light for Jesus is. And when they come home tired and grouchy and all those things, you know, man, it's tough sometimes. Man, God's not done working yet.